disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Something going on in there, folks. It's amazing as we get here in the pre-show how many people are something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's something going on, and I can feel it. Can't you feel it? I feel a bad moon horizon. Got all those, yeah. Old rock and roll boy here today. I dressed, in fact, dressed in my war gear here today. That's how much I feel what's going on. I got some amazing stuff to share with you today. But I want to start out the show a little bit differently today. I want to go directly to our imprecatory psalms. And I would ask somebody out there who was assigned Psalm 17. I may have told you Psalm 10. I don't know what I told you for sure, Spencer. Psalm 17. Somebody's assigned Psalm 17, and I'd like to go directly to that right now as we come out. Psalm 17 and then Psalm 35. So if you were assigned either one of those, this is your chance to speak to the world and read Psalm 17 for us. I'll wait. Somebody say, that's me, Coach. I'll wait. Come on now. Don't make me turn to silver.
Hey, Coach, I'll read it for you.
All right.
Yeah, I'm 35, so someone could read 35 for me.
No, you stay. No, if you're 35, you stay at 35, okay? 17. Nobody out there signed Psalm 17? Sure they were. They're taking a break here today. Okay, Silver, you're the man. Psalm 17 is going up, Joe. Let's start. Hey, folks, listen. We're at war. We are at war. We are at war.
Amen.
We are in the midst of Satan's high holiday. We're at war, and we're going to war against them. But Joe, if you would, Silver, go ahead and read Psalm 17 to us. Spence, is it up on the screen, brother? If you have to get me the right screen, I probably hit the wrong thing again here. You don't know my screen, so I can follow it, please. Thank you. Go ahead, Silver.
Okay. Psalm 17.
Oh. How do you talk that fast, Joe?
I can talk faster.
Here we go. There you go. Thanks, Spencer. All right. All right, Joe.
Psalm 17.
Hey, by the way, hey, Joe, I don't think God loves everybody. Go ahead.
This is true. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth out, not out, of feigned lips.
Amen on that.
Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night.
Amen on that.
Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer.
Well, there's a destroyer, Joe, for sure.
I'm missing.
Scroll up a bit, Spence. Spencer took a break on us there.
I guess
we're at verse 5. We're at verse 5.
We're at verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech.
Spence, there you go.
Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them.
Amen.
Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me.
Amen.
From my deadly enemies who
compass
me about.
Amen. Amen.
They are enclosed in their own fat.
Mm.
With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Or is it bowing down?
Bowing down, I believe.
To the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey.
Folks are talking about our enemy.
And that, as it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint them. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
Amen.
From men which are thy hand, O Lord. From men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes.
Mm.
As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness.
Amen. Amen, Joe. Let's go to Psalm 35. Betty, you the man, Betty. Give us a chance.
Hopefully to... not too much, man.
Give us a chance. There, it's up. By the way, this is one of my favorite, most favorite ever imprecatory psalms. Go ahead, Betty.
Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me.
Mm.
Take hold of my shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them.
Amen.
Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit.
Yes, they have.
With which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself.
Yes.
Into that very destruction let him fall.
Yes, Lord, he who digs a pit, let him fall in it, Lord.
And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not.
Mm-hmm.
They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though we have been my friend or my brother. I bowed down heavenly as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversities, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not.
Wow.
They did tear me and seize not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth.
Amen.
Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from thy destructions, their destructions, my darling, from the lions. I will give thee thanks in great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me.
Amen.
Neither let them wink with the eye they hate without a cause.
Hate me without a cause.
For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful manners against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me and say, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord.
Amen.
Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me.
Thank you, Lord.
Let them not say into their heart, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt.
Yes.
Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me.
Yes, Lord.
Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified with has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long.
Amen, Betty. Amen. Folks, keep reading those imprecatory psalms. We know this from our dear friend Reggie and from our dear friend Stephanie and others that they are hard at work right now. The Luciferians are hard at work. I got a lot to share with you today. If you could, let's start down with quail, it says Spence. I posted this at our website. I want you all to do it. Mike Adams interviewed Steve Quayle yesterday. And this is fascinating. It's 24 minutes. We're not going to watch all of it. In fact, both of these guys talk kind of slow. So, Spencer, you can play it at about a 1.5 speed and move it up to where you see Steve Quayle's face. I think that's going to be probably about keep on going. Right there. Start it right there. And I just want you to watch a few minutes of this very, very powerful. Steve Quayle's been really sick. You can see it. Go ahead.
Going in my absence, and you know, you did an amazing, as usual, job. True heart gratefulness. Gary Haven filled in. Dave Hodges, those of you, Daniel Holdings, that you know took up the slack for me. Thank you very much. But 3 weeks ago, almost a month ago, Dave Hodges received information from his RSOF, special operations friend, and I was able to validate it of the people they wanted to take out, kill, murder, get rid of. We were on the list. I was on the list. You were on the list. Dave was on the list. I mean, the list is what it is. It's on the internet. And that they would use a bioweaponized cover in order to cover up the tracks so that it would be just those anti-vaxxers that died. And you're already seeing it. I've seen some of the, you know, happy that Russ Dizdar's dead. God rebuke those devils. And the fact that I'm not, you know, and all that. But here's what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. Alternative news. What you've been getting from Mike all these years, what you've been getting from me, what you've been getting from Alex, what you've been getting from Dave, what you've been getting from Doug Hagman, all of it in real time was always attacked as fear porn, fear mongering, or some psychotronic MK Ultra term to try and denigrate and discredit us. Now, what Mike just said about the opening of a complete supply chain takeover, takedown, and the attendant results of what that's going to look like is very, very, very ugly. And even now, as we have a million containers sitting off the East and West Coast, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to imagine when those containers come ashore, and in essence, they're loose, and the ultimate beachcombing experience takes place. Because very soon, people are going to figure it out. We're starving here. All that stuff's out there. Each container has $100,000 of everything, from food to parts, you name it.
Well, some of those containers have parts that I ordered. I mean, we can't even get air conditioning units for our own operation. But Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I do want to get into the supply chain issues. But first, people are so concerned about your health and your recovery. There were prayers for you. So many people texted me asking me about your status. You were keeping me posted. I was keeping them posted. Please tell us about what happened.
What happened? Yeah. I'm sorry. And you know, thank you. I'll stay on track. And again, I apologize. It's as hard for me at this point to do it, but here's what needs to understand. I was feeling great about 3 weeks ago until about 6 or 7 o'clock at night when I just simply started not being able to breathe. I had been on hydroxychloroquine. I had been taking ivermectin prophylactically, but something happened, Mike, that basically with my wife on the phone from the East Coast, he said, you got to get him to the hospital right away. My CRP value was up around 500. I said 400. I was off by 100. That's my reactive protein, meaning that's how sick you are. When I got into the emergency room, it was a battle. All I had to say is I was on ivermectin, and the emergency room physician did not take kindly to that. As a matter of fact, I don't know what was worse, the storm going on in my body or the storm going on in the emergency room over fighting the protocols. I insisted I insist, I want people to understand this, that they put immediately on me a DNR, a do not resuscitate bracelet. Mine happened to be magenta. I then insisted that everyone present in the room acknowledge that under no circumstances was I to be on a vent. And this was in the emergency room. And I made clear, I mean, I was ornery. I make no apologies for that. But I thank God it was. They would only allow my wife, Loretta, to stay with me until they moved me into ICU and started, you know, taking care of me. But Mike, I can tell you this. The people that think this is a bunch of BS, it is a very real bioweapon. And the effect of the cytokine storm that took over my body. Remember, I'm on a prophylactic dose of ivermectin and also hydroxychloroquine. I'm taking vitamin D. I'm taking zinc. And I had just finished a week of azithromycin before that. So the point that was confusing to me is the fact that how could I be in a prophylactic mode and have all this stuff coming down and then hearing the emergency blood reports going on and asking my wife, because I have hearing aids, I think people know that, I don't hear very well, what does it mean? And hearing the prognosis, had it not been for the people of God. And I want to make this clear, there's no melodrama. Once you're there, you're there. You know that you either leave that hospital or you're going to heaven out of that hospital, at least you know Jesus you are. And so there was no question in my mind. That was the point I was at. That was made very clear to me. So in essence, what happened immediately, I had to get on supplementary oxygen, which I'm on right now, 4 liters per minute. And I want to make people understand something. There are things you have to anticipate about the next round of bioweapons that people should have on hand ahead of time. And one of them is an oxygen concentrator. When you need it, you cannot get it. When you need it, you'll have to have a prescription for it. And supplementing your oxygen when your blood oxygen level gets down in the 50, 60, and high 70s max is a very deadly thing. Pretty soon you die of oxygen deprivation. During that whole time, Mike, I was conscious of the fact that I didn't know the details at that moment, but I believe I've shared those details with you through another medium that was secure. But come to find out, I know, and I'm not going to say anything so people can, I know who ordered it, they hit. I know the purpose for the hit was to discourage all the young, if you will, alt news people. I knew that was to blame the COVID-19. And you're already seeing the artificial intelligence programs out there that are taking on me and others. And, you know, I guess they're unhappy we're alive. Well, thank the Lord that they're unhappy we're alive.
But what was it? A skin penetrating toxic nanoparticle hit? Was it a contact poison? Was it an aerosolized attack on your entire house? Or how do you think this attack was?
Point, I believe it was a specifically aerosolized attack upon us. My wife came down with it first. You know, she basically great shape, amazing shape, health wise and stuff. But I believe it was a specific aerosolized attack. And remember, I'm one of
Well, suffice it to say that, yes, Steve, yeah, I was just saying that it's clear that they were targeted, and it's ridiculous.
We're at a time of war, folks, and they are targeting us, and we will not stand down. Playtime's over. This is not a game.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Amen on that.
I just want to pray for the technology warfare that's going on right now. Lord, we just pray against the enemy that the technology problem would be cleared up and that that Coach Dave would be able to speak.
Yep. All right, folks, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it just went boom. So thanks, Mel. Thanks for that. Hey, so listen, one of the things that, by the way, this video Steve Quayle's posted at our website. You guys all hearing me okay now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah. This is the nebulizer. This is what Steve Quayle was talking about. And what this is a little oxygen producer that you're able to increase your oxygen. It's called a nebulizer. I went on Amazon and I bought several of them, a couple of them. And they also bought a little, one of those little things that you put on the end of your finger that measures your oxygen content. These nebulizers can be purchased on Amazon. I think I got one. I'm guessing. I can't remember. I think it's $35. I got a couple of them. And these are what Steve was talking about there, that something's happening here. And it would be wise if you had a nebulizer in your home, one or two of them that will give you the ability to have oxygen pumped, breathe easier, pumped into you. Okay. I don't know much about it. I just got it yesterday. Mine says it's a mesh nebulizer, and I would recommend that y'all get one, at least one. I don't know.
Coach, let me say that's different from what Steve is talking about.
Okay.
What Steve's talking about is like, if you have like a DME, like a medical equipment company comes in, it's actually a generator that generates oxygen. It okay. can at times deliver medication, which is what you've got, will deliver medication. What Steve is on is to give him pure oxygen at okay, a regulated cool. rate. And it's a little bit different. I don't know if you can buy those. Maybe you can. Mostly they come with a prescription from your physician. But I'm sure if you have a doctor, and I don't know what they cost. But yeah. his is a little more, it is a little different than what you got. I bought the same thing you bought to deliver medication.
Okay. Moisture, maybe something, whatever. I got it. Maybe I better study up on it a little bit. Okay. So anyway, the point that Steve Quayle's making, and again, this video is posted at our website, is that the evil side is upping their game, friends. They're upping their game. Why are they upping their game right now? Well, hey, Craig, come on in here. Don't use any zeros, Craig. Come on in here, Craig. I got the video about, I'm going to play this real quick. And I'm going to let Craig, stay with me today, all right? And I'm going to let Craig talk to you a little bit about this. Spencer, it says 6666 on there, Spencer, about the shots. Yes, okay. This is just while Craig sent this to me this morning. I want to play this. It's only 2 minutes. And then, Craig, I'm going to open it up to you a little bit, talk about it. Go ahead. Seven-day warning. Please do a second. Folks, in code, zero is merely a placeholder. Zero means nothing. Zero means blank. So what they're doing here, 6.666 billion shots. Now, think about this. More than 666. They could have said more than 665. They could have said more than 6.5. But they said more than 666 billion shots have been given. 407 million doses. Take the zero out. 47 million. 47 is the number. Keep going. Okay, Craig, this is your thing. Tell us what we're seeing here, Craig.
Well, we could get into all these other dates, and I don't think that's germane to what we need to look at. I mean, we're very sensitive times. One of the reasons I sent that to you is that on a, this tracker is a Bloomberg. Okay, we all know who Bloomberg Financial, right? And it's been in existence since they've been tracking this vaccine. Okay, and so, I mean, you know, when we lost Russ and Rob Skiba and all these other, I mean, and that just happened to be on the night of October 16th to 17th, this Sunday evening into Monday. And so when I saw that, I looked at it and I said, wow. But then I also noticed something in there, which it makes me think of you. I mean, I hear all this information and I try to parse it in my mind. And if you look at the snapshot of that picture, it said 3:33 a.m. is when that person took a selfie on his phone of that time. And you kept waking up at 3:33 a.m. all those days, this is all bouncing around in my mind, and I honestly feel.
Okay, hang on, Reggie, Stephanie, what does this mean? What does this mean, Reggie, Stephanie? You feeling anything here at all in this? Hey, folks, listen, I'm not trying to get otherworldly on you, okay? But we better understand this: the devil has a team, and they're serious. The devil has a team and they're organized. And whether you believe in them being able to put curses or cast spells, whether you believe in it or not, they certainly believe in it. And something crazy is going on as we approach this high holiday of Halloween, which, by the way, most churches celebrate. Stephanie or Reggie, somebody bail me out here.
Well, Coach, I can't speak out of turn. I only know what I know. I don't know what Craig understands as far as the numbers, but numbers, numerology, down to everything they do, it's a methodology, but it's a numerology, and it goes back. And he's using the Julian calendar. I also know you want to incorporate the Roman calendar and look at the Roman feast days as well. I don't know about this, but I do know in this time it's the 13th to the 31st, but they have points in between. I just can't speak on that. Maybe Stephanie can.
But we are in the middle of their Lent. Would that be safe to say, Reggie?
Yeah, sort of. they have different names, but I guess you could say it's a preparation time. Yeah.
Yeah. This is wherever they're heading, this high holiday of Halloween. We're in the midst of a very, very thing. Listen, folks, we can write it off as coincidence if we want to. Rob Skiba, Russ Dizdar, attack on Quayle, stuff that's going on around us. There's something. That's why, again, the imprecatory psalm, I think, imprecatory psalms become so much more important. Come on in, Tony. Tell us a story, not your life story. Come on in.
Okay. First of all, the flood begins using the 17th information that you have posted, is the flood of Satan's lies that are being pushed forth so much stronger. The beginning of the pangs of the birth of the new earth age, which is coming, and those pangs can be felt by all of the earthquakes and events that are happening around you, if you have eyes to see.
By the way, let me stop you there a second, Tony. Steve Quayle, folks, listen, Steve Quayle, in that video that we just watched, Steve Quayle says we are ignoring the volcano that is about to erupt. I can't remember exactly where it was. And the effect it's going to have on cell phones, satellites, all that stuff. That Steve said that thing is about to blow, and we are in no way, shape, or form prepared for the darkness that's going to come across parts of the earth as a result of that volcano. Go ahead, Tony. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The darkness also, of course, is sadly the spiritual darkness where most have gone silent and have crawled into a corner. But whereas the few, the elect, the Zadok, who have the gospel armor on and in place and who are daily in study for a greater understanding, it's like an onion, peeling back the layers of the onion in the simplicity of God's living word, that you have the capacity over time to gain deeper and deeper knowledge, to have that understanding, and to be prepared for that which has been predicted since the beginning of time, what shall come to pass.
Come on in, Kevin.
Yeah, well, first off, the island volcano you're talking about is on the island of La Palma, and it's off the west coast of Africa. So keep your eye on that one. Secondly, I want to clue you in on something that happened to Steve that I think plays into him getting that attack. So about a week before he got sick, Steve came out on the Hagman report that earlier that day or the day before, he had two black military helicopters come in over his house and hover over his house about 100 feet off the roof for 5-6 minutes. He was in the shower at the time. He didn't know what was going on. His wife was panicking, freaking out. And all he could feel was the whole house shaking. And she's yelling out to him. He comes out of the shower. What's going on? And he didn't see him. She's telling him, we just had two helicopters hovering over our house about 100 feet up. Now, at the time, he felt that they were scanning his house with, like, X-ray technology to look through the walls. I have a funny suspicion that's when they did the release. Whether it was it could have been an aerosol release. I kind of lean towards what you and I have been talking about, you know, an electric release or a 5G, a really strong 5G release to cause a virus to kick up in him. But I just want
What if something was, again, it's easy to get paranoid, right? What if some aerosol was released outside Russ's house? Would they be able to do that? Would they be able to come with some type of pressurized tank and release that outside Russ's house or Rob Skiba's house or Steve Quayle's house or Doug Hagman's house? This is more than just a coincidence. Stephanie just bumped in there. Come in there, Stephanie. Give us your take on what you think the heck's going on here. Go ahead. Let me get Mark Trump in here. We're waiting for Stephanie. Go ahead, Mark.
Morning, everybody. Oh, no, I'm still on my first cup of coffee, Coach, everybody. So morning, everybody.
Go ahead.
Weren't expecting all of with all of us for the prayer, but yeah, I believe that they are definitely trying to, like I said, they're trying to take out the frontliners. They're trying to take out the ones that inspire the people to step up. Because they don't want any sort of inspiration. They don't want you to want to do anything. They want you to shrivel. They want you to hide. So strongly agree, Coach. I agree with this. I told you, I feel that it was a multifaceted attack. They were planning, they were praying, and they released something. And that's just my personal opinion, and I'm a nobody. But that's what I believe.
We know that when I was at Bard's Fest, there's no doubt something was released at Bard's Fest. So if they can release it like that at Bard's Fest, then can they release it outside the homes of individuals?
Oh yes, yeah. I believe they can.
I think they can too, folks. I think we're at war. Mark Trump, going in.
Yeah, Coach. I think it could be a combination of things, but most of what people are seeing are part of what's radiation poisoning. So if you look up radiation poisoning, you're going to see a whole lot of what you would see in COVID symptoms. I hate that term. COVID's from 2019. These are corona.
This ain't COVID anymore, folks. This ain't COVID anymore. This ain't coronavirus. No matter how much they're
telling you. No. It's coronavirus, but the bottom line is they can activate our systems. What happened in Cuba was it could have been an aerosol release where you breathe in particles and then they activate them with RF, with a microwave signal. All right, by having the planes over, that's different than 5G antennas. They have very, very sophisticated targeting devices that they can put airborne in anything airborne. A small plane, a helicopter, a large plane, and they can target your heart and stop your heart. Okay, none of this is new. Okay, so it could be a variety of things. Don't make assumptions. But whenever things happen in your area, like helicopters, be informed of it. I mean, be aware of it. Start being more vigilant over these things. This is very important. Let's accumulate the data. I can look up a whole lot of information. I got a whole lot of friends. So Craig talked to me about a plane flying over his house. I found the mission. I found the contract. I found everything about what's going on in his neighborhood.
Mm. Amen.
So just be vigilant. And I think it could be a combination. What's in them already, we all have coronavirus, all of us, and then you activate it with the signal. I agree with that.
Thanks, Mark. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, you know, speaking on the earthquake issue and the volcano issue, La Palma is a potential problem, but a worse potential problem is Yellowstone. There is one hill in Yellowstone, a very large hill, many, 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 many acres, has raised in elevation 3 feet since January. And that's, you know, that's unheard of. And also that, along with the last few days of reduced thermal activity and increased earthquake activity in that area, I'm not predicting that it's going to blow, but that super volcano is very possibly going to blow.
Something's happening here. Listen, I'm not trying to scare you, and I'm going to move off of this topic. I just think that there's a whole lot of coincidences out there that are more than coincidences, in my not so humble opinion. Cool. Let me see here. I got to read this. Yes, most of you didn't get a chance. I'm going to let Silver read it. Pull it up on the screen there, if you will. Oh, wait a minute. One more thing, Spencer. I'm sorry. Pull up the article, the one I forwarded to you. This is an encouragement. It says, your recent article, The Church is Weak. I got this this morning from a pastor. Is this it? Yeah. My wife's over. She's snuck in on me, scared me. Snuck into my studio. Oh, my goodness. I wrote this commentary. Go to the top if you can't, Spencer. Maybe it's at the beginning. Yes, yeah, it says, hi, Coach. Love that. It's truly a pleasure to hear such refreshing words. I'm going to read it to you in a second regarding the church, which up to now has been on life support. That's a good one, isn't it? Church is on life support. This is from a pastor. This letter's from a pastor. I ask you to place me on your prayer list and please inform all those who are engaging the word, the flesh, and the devil. Let me explain. The state of New York, there are seriously corrupt judicial authorities who've been stealing children from parents and forcing them into the broken foster home system. Hey, Reggie, the courts are involved with this. I spoke to an attorney yesterday, same thing. You cannot get a fair, folks, you can, if you have a child custody case and you go into court, they will side with Child Protective Services every time, folks. There are deviants, child molesters, and pedophiles running the foster care homes nationally, this pastor tells me. And it's time it stops now. Tomorrow, that's today, I will drive over to upstate New York from Pennsylvania to decree and declare this system, the family court system, must stop their heinous criminal activity immediately or be destroyed by the Lord God. This goes way beyond a millstone tied around their collective necks, but directly wants them of imminent destruction by any and every means possible. This guy sounds like he likes imprecatory prayers. And every means possible by the Lord of hosts and the angels of God appointed to carry out these tasks. I've been praying and preparing my decree and declaration for quite some time. And tomorrow, a group of godly mothers and I will stand before the New York State Family Court System and pray and make our declarations. Then wait a very short time, as they all shall be given a very short window of final repentance. And if they do not repent and confess to their evil, destructive deeds, they will be destroyed. Thank you for your prayers, your tenacity, standing against this evil, and actually declaring, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in him, Reverend Kevin Garvey. So we got a live one out there, Reggie. We got a live one out there. Father, we just pray that your hand be upon Reverend Kevin and the women that they go there, Lord, that they're going to cast down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts against the knowledge of God. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to tear down, root out, pluck up, and destroy, and that you're going to move mightily through them in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you, Reverend Kevin. We need to connect with him, Reggie and Stephanie. He's one of us. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Brett. Pennsylvania Bobby. Pennsylvania whoever. New York. We got a live one. We got a live one. Come on in, Reggie.
I just want his info. Also, just a reminder, he knows what's going on. That's what T and I work on. Those guardians of litems, those social workers, the judges, the mediators, the secretaries, they're all part of the occult.
We don't want to believe that, do we? Folks, we just don't want to believe that, do we? But I was speaking with an attorney yesterday who was just, he's doing a child custody case. The parents have not seen, this will be the second Christmas that the parents will not have seen their children. He presented pictures yesterday to the court, to the judge, of marks on the children, recent marks on the children, bruises of this. They presented it to the court. And all they're saying is, why don't we let these kids go back to their parents? Parents were never proven to be injurious to anybody. And what did the court, what did the judge rule? Oh, no. They have to stay in the custody of Child Protective Services. What if there was ever a misplaced moniker, Child Protective Services, that's it. And you know why that's such a great moniker? Because who doesn't want to protect children? Reggie, you're not against protecting children, are you, Reggie? How can you be against Child Protective Services? They're to protect children, right? Yeah. Yeah, just like government intelligence, right? Those go hand in hand. Spencer, pull up, yeah, from my yesterday's commentary I wrote. I think it's very relevant to where we are. So, Silver, do you want to read this? You want me? I'll read it, Silver. Today's American church is spiritually impotent. This is what we talk about all the time, friends. It's what we talk about. We come in here, and how can we be so red-pilled, and so many people around us not be? How can our pastors be so blind to what's going on? Well, part of it's a spiritual, I think. Part of it is. Listen, I don't hate pastors. I don't hate them. I just want to wake up. I just want to grab them and slap them and wake them up. Wake them up, dudes. This is not a shot across the bow of Christianity. Christianity is doing just fine, thank you. It has survived and thrived through persecution over the past 2,000 years, and it's not going to be thrown on a dust heap of history just yet. In fact, we're heading into the greatest reformation the church world has ever seen. Would somebody say amen? Because I think this is what's going on. We're heading into the greatest. Amen. We're heading into the greatest
amen.
Reformation
amen.
The world has ever seen. Millions are going to come to Christ over the next few years, and the ever-expanding kingdom of God's about to flex some muscle. Jesus Christ is king right now, right here. And he told us that his kingdom was without end. So no matter what it looks like on the outside, the kingdom of God is expanding in the hearts of men. That's where it is, you know, on the inside of men. It's a spiritual kingdom that dwells on the inside of men. Jesus himself told us the kingdom of God is within. Boy, we need to hammer that into people's heads. Yes, my friends, Christianity is thriving around the world despite the onslaught of persecution. In fact, persecution is fertilizer to the kingdom of God. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Pushing back against persecution produces spiritual muscles. The kingdom of God is getting ready to flex its muscles. Somebody say amen. I believe this with my whole heart, that we're getting ready to flex some muscle.
Amen.
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 There's a picture of Charles Atlas.
Amen.
The American church is the 98-pound weakling that Charles Atlas used to talk about. At some point, Christians are going to have to hit the weight room and fight back against the Luciferian bullies. Getting one's ass kicked does not make one holy. Fighting pressure does. In fact, it's often called resistance training. The heart of resistance training is the act of pushing back. The American church has been taught that pushing back is unchristian. That is a socialist lie. Standing up to and resisting evil builds character. Boy, this is good. That's because the American church is broken. It's time to pour new wine into new wineskins. The old way of doing church is outmoded and ineffectual. The American church system has made the American male weak and independent. It has turned men into mice, lions into pussycats, and sharks into effeminized evangelifish. The American church is broken. Let me explain. Imagine, if you will, an athletic individual, and you decided you wanted to become a football player. You'd seen games on TV, but you'd never played. You searched the one ads for a place where you could be trained in the ways of football. You found a trainer at a beautiful health spa, and you started to attend workouts. The trainer was a muscular guy, and he clearly knew all of the ins and outs of football. So you and a few of your buddies started attending weekly sessions with the coach. You asked him if you needed to bring workout clothes, and he assured you that you didn't. Only a manual that he would give you. At first, the workouts were interesting as the coach trained you on safety aspects of football. He taught you what each piece of equipment was used for, how it protected you. He explained the different positions on the field and what responsibility each position had. He taught you the history of football, who the greatest players in history were, and he even spoke of exploits that the individual players had performed. but he was especially good at teaching the rules of football. Somebody say amen. We're doing good here, aren't we, boys and girls?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was very thorough, even doing long, hour-long series on each of the football techniques. And at the end of the day, he gave you a football manual and explained to you the importance of reading the manual and encouraged you to teach football to your family and friends. Everything is explained in the book, he told you. Read it every day, and you will become a much better football player. Finally, the day of the first game arrived, and your team was scheduled to play the Luciferians, a much more experienced team. Your team got creamed because the opponent had been taught how to play the game. Well, your coach had merely taught you about the game. Your coach had never taken you out on the field where you actually practiced what you'd been taught. When you tried to rebuke the Luciferians, they steamrolled right over your weak, sorry ass. Great coaches teach by doing. Every play run during the game had been repeatedly run during practice. Good players do not know what position they play. Good players do not only know what position they play, they actually know how to execute a variety of plays. Today's pastors, whoa, get that out of there. Today's pastors never take the team to the field. They spend hours pontificating on the powers of football, but never take the individual players to the practice field where the crucial techniques are taught. How can you stand up and speak at a school board meeting if you've never been to one? Why doesn't the coach lead them to the field and show them how it's done? The devil's kids run the schools because they actually engage in the battle. Christians lose by forfeit. Share this with your pastor.
Amen.
Ask him why he never takes his team out on the practice field and shows them how the game is played.
Bam.
How can you possibly play effectively if your coach never puts you into a game?
Amen. Oh,
the American church is broken. Theoreticians are training the troops. We need bold, experienced generals. A friend told me this story about his grandson, about teaching his grandson how to drive a zero-turn mower. He sat him on the mower and showed him how every switch on the column worked. He explained how the levers worked, how to fill the gas, what the gauges meant, and then turned him loose in the backyard. About 15 minutes later, the grandson showed up to the garage and says, "Grandpa, the mower isn't mowing the grass. It runs great, but none of the grass is shorter when I get to the end of the yard." My friend walked over and looked at the mower. He shut it off and had the boy go through all the steps of starting and driving the mower. The mower started up. The young man took it for a test ride and brought it back to his grandpa. "Grandpa still doesn't mow." My friend leaned over the mower and pulled on the toggle switch to engage the blades. "What's that sound, Grandpa?" the young boy asked as the blades began to whirl. The American church is broken. It's time we stopped learning about Christianity and actually started practicing. Won't someone please show the Christians how to engage the blades?
Amen.
Huh? Is that it or is that it?
Wow.
Amen, Dave. Yep, that's it.
Amen.
That is so good, Coach. That is so good.
It's it though, isn't it, Glenn? I mean, isn't that it? We get all this, all these theories. Russ Dizdar took the gospel to the streets. Why wouldn't they be after him? Why wouldn't they send a triple team block after Russ Dizdar? Why the hell would they block your pastor? Why would they care what your pastor ever has to say, right? Because he's just going to do a blowhard sermon that he got off the internet anyway, and nothing's ever going to change. So what are we going to do? See, there's a reformation. I put my hat on today because there's a reformation coming, man. There's a great reformation coming in American Christianity, and we are on the cutting edge of that. And if you come here every day, you learn to engage your blades. Come on in, Mark.
This will be quick, Coach. You made me think of a meme. All right. Christians push back. Fake Christians push back.
Real Christians push back. Fake Christians push back. Well said. Well said. Somebody come in here and rescue me. Somebody come in. Go ahead, Tony.
Where your hands okay. Points from exactly where you're coming from. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing regarding pastors, reverends, and priests, many who play as if they are children of God, but are actually of Satan. There are four hidden dynasties that Satan has focused on, and they are as such: government, financial, education, and the fourth and final one being religion.
Tony, are you new to the show?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Tony, that's the heart of what we teach here, brother. That is the heart of what we teach. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you always teach, let's go look at the root of the problem. Look where it's all stemming from. And the problem in the things calling themselves churches all stems from the problem that their social love gospel does not present the individuals with enough information to actually become children of God. Well, it's a bunch of wannabe Christians sitting in there. Maybe a lot of those people really desire a close relationship with Jesus and everything, but they are never presented enough information to become a child of God.
That's because a mixture of the stuff we talked about yesterday, right? The love gospel, there is no hate gospel. There is no, so I'm sorry, we're all over it. Come on in, Reggie, then Craig.
Yeah, going back to yesterday, that loved Jesus and everybody got really quiet and moved on to the next subject. I was trying to explain they did this in the 60s. They literally did a ritual. They culminated it in with all your hippies and your love. And they had infiltrated way beforehand. These people are great strategists. Before you could even know, before you could even detect it, into the seminaries, on every denomination, they were programming you. Mm-hmm. That's why everybody is still, I saw it yesterday. I said, nobody gets it. Nobody said a thing. Not that you had to, but it's like the programming proved my point. Everybody's like, no, not my priest, not my pastor. Yeah. You know, so then I wanted to remind you, Coach, that there's a draft right now going on and you need to sign up for it.
Oh, thanks, Reggie. Thank you, Reggie. There's a draft. Reggie, explain that. Reggie and Stephanie are working hard on putting a team together to pray during this time. If you want to be on that team, Reggie, do they contact you? What do they do? Reggie, can you put your email in the chat? Okay. So if you want to be part of the prayer force that Reggie and Stephanie are putting together, email her. Okay. Email Reggie. They already started it. They will get you in the game. Cool. All right. Is that good enough, Reg? Hey, pull up, Spencer, pull up. Hey, Craig, do you want to come in or do you just not take your hand down?
I just wanted to say one thing, Coach. This is about discerning the times. And you as a coach, every minute on the field, as soon as from the start to the end of the game, it all mattered. But there were minutes and there were times when it was really important. Like probably going in towards, you know, when it was halftime, you wanted to use that last minute or two to make a statement. So those guys went in to the locker room kind of defeated, right? Yes. And then at the end of the game, it changed the clock changed everything for you. How, you know, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to hold back. Whatever. And that's what I just want people to get from where we're at right now. Discern the times and redeem them. Mm-hmm. That's Amen. What God's telling me.
I want to score before halftime, Craig. I want to score before halftime. That's what I want to do, right? I want to get that momentum. Hey, Spencer, pull up Kansas City, says Van Story at the end of it. This is fascinating. Folks, the enemy knows who we are. Kevin Van Story, as you go, look at this. This is the Kansas City Star. Big newspaper. Big newspaper. Group says it will train Christians in hand-to-hand combat at Southwest Missouri event. Hey, Kevin, how far are you from Kansas City?
170
miles.
170 miles.
And somehow they caught wind that we were going to do a training on what hand-to-hand combat. Oh, so they did a real nice article, probably because they wanted to make Kevin and the boys look good, right? That's how they wanted to do it. And they wanted a lot of people to come. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 folks. No, they quote Kevin. They try to make Kevin look as crazy as they possibly can. As Kevin says, we're a group of Christian men and women that go out and will stand against unrighteousness. Oh, you can't be saying that, Kevin. This will be an intensive study about self-defense. What happens if you're driving on I-70 last year when all these riots take place in Kansas City and St. Louis, it's about time that Christian starts going on the offense, at least stop being always on the defense. Okay, scroll on down. Well, they got to bring in some guy. They got to bring in, who's this right there? The Institution for Research and Education on Human Rights. They got to bring him in. Oh, David Burghardt says the group is trying to hide far right Pelham military training behind a friendly facade. Folks, you see what's going on? You see this? Kevin, did you talk to anybody? Have any pushback, any feedback on any of this stuff, brother?
I had a guy call me from Idaho yesterday and said that, you know, that the Muslims do the same thing. That's what they're trying to make you turn into, is like a Muslim. And yeah. I said, sir, this was completely taken out of context. And I said, the only thing that I'm going to do, the only time I'm going to be a violent man is when violence is perpetrated against me.
Folks, they don't even want you to defend yourself. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You guys have been to our trainings. You know what it's all about, right? It is anything but what they put up here on the screen. Scroll down a little bit more, because they love quoting this guy, this expert, right? As you read down through this article, Brian Levin, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism. Do you believe that? They have at the University of California, San Bernardino, they have a Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism. And of course, they call him. They don't call me. They call him. I want to make sure that nobody shows up at Kevin Van Story's training. It's unbelievable.
Gatekeeper, Coach.
She did say, Coach, that she's been following your page. She's subscribed to your newsletter and really? Follows your page on a regular basis.
She knows my email. Yeah, she knows my email. She could have called me, right? She could have called me.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, this is just the propaganda that we're dealing against, okay? Just the problem. You know who this letter was written to? This article was written to? It was written to the people you go to church with. That's who this was written to. To let you know, don't hang out with Kevin Van Story because he's an extreme.
Amen, Coach.
Huh? That's what it's about. It wasn't written to the world. It was written to you. Don't you dare go out and try to learn to shoot guns, because we're going to call you names, just like this guy down there in Neosho, wherever he actually ran for Congress. We got to be against these. Oh, yeah. Just let them have it. Roll over and let them have you, folks. That's the message of this entire article. Oh, my goodness. What a time to be alive. It's everywhere. Hey, folks. Tread lightly. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So did Russ Dizdar. So does Steve Quayle. You are not to tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, you don't go to the edge of a cliff and jump off and say, I'm under the secret place of the Most High. The Lord's going to protect me. No. There are consequences to physical action and physical activities. Folks, there are consequences to that. And to ask God always to enter to supernaturally intervene into something that you got yourself into, that's what the Bible calls the sin of presumption. Did Russ Dizdar? Listen, nothing happens without the Lord's permission. And don't anybody tell me, well, the Lord needed another angel. Russ Dizdar ain't no angel. Human beings that die don't become angels. Russ Dizdar is not another angel.
Amen.
We don't know the reason why the Lord called Russ Dizdar home. We don't know if the Lord did, in fact, call Russ Dizdar home. But we do know this, that Russ Dizdar went home with the approval of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We understand that. Nothing happens he doesn't give approval to. Now, the question is why? What happened? What was going on? We have to all be sensitive to understand the time in which we live, that we are at the, God, I don't even know a word that I can use to explain to you the seriousness of the time in which we live and what is going on around us. I can't come up with words to explain it. There's very little that's happening simply by coincidence, just very little. And if we don't know and understand that evil is on the march, dude, somebody give you a great wake up. I pray for us. We're going to be in the Nashville this weekend doing some ministry. Ohio Brett, me, Dr. Sherry. And I think Declan's coming home this weekend. We're believing he's coming home this weekend. Serve a great God. God bless you, man. We'll see you on Monday.